Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that.
Hey, what's up? I'm Amobi Okugo, aka a frugal athlete. So check this out. We came out with an all-new, extensive, brand-new course. Our course, Rookie Mistakes, is a course that helps young athletes and individuals avoid the common mistakes when starting your career. I provide real-life examples, lessons, insights, all that and more to teach you how to identify the rookie mistakes before you make them. And trust me, I've made a lot. It's all about giving yourself the best foundation and head start to build financial and career stability. For more information or to get the course, check out the link in bio.
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of a Frugal Athlete podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Mr. Andy Robbins. Andy is a gentleman that I was fortunate enough to get connected to from another relationship that I had. And since then, we've been able to hit it off, and he has a lot of sound advice. So I thought it would be great for him to come on to share not only his experiences, but things that he's learned along the way. So with that being said, Andy, how are you doing?
I am doing really well, Amobi, and I got to say, it's a real privilege to be on your show.
Thank you. No, it's a pleasure. I know your schedule is busy and, you know, you're doing a lot of great things. So for the folks that may not know you, obviously, you built out Oyster, a Portland-based leadership development company. But before that, you were working at Intel, and you are a soccer fan. So we already are friends on that standpoint. But for the folks that may not know you, please give us like some context to who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, certainly. So as you can tell, I'm not from around here. So I live in Portland. And as you mentioned, the big Timbers fans, that was great to see you on the field. But I grew up in the UK. I grew up in England, which probably also says a lot about my passion for soccer. And then in 1990, I joined a company that at the time I had no idea who they were. It's a company called Intel that makes, silicon chips. And back then there was no Intel inside. So it was like, hey, well, we'll give this a try. And I was lucky. I was really lucky because, you know, what I got in the next 25 years was just a fantastic management and leadership education. And, you know, what I do now, as you mentioned, Amobi, is I'm an executive coach, a leadership coach, and I help leaders take their game to the next level, you know, to get better results for themselves and their team. But my journey to getting here really wasn't a straight line. I mentioned that, you know, I worked at Intel Corporation for a long time. And I would say probably for about 15 years, I really struggled to really figure out what leadership was all about, you know, and I would say I made the mistake of a rookie leadership mistake, as it were. I used to think that I was supposed to have all the answers and to add value to the team by solving their problems, having all the answers, telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. And that served me pretty well for a long time. But then I was leading a really big organization, and there was no way that I could play that role. And, you know, it's a bit like on a soccer team, as it were. You may have one player who thinks that they're the best. And, you know, if the other 10 players are not playing with them, you're not going to get a great outcome. So that was the sort of leader I was, and it worked well until it didn't. And then I was really lucky that I had a fantastic leadership coach at the time who helped me realize my job was to get the best out of the people around me. And that was a huge change in my career. And, you know, I started really enjoying my leadership role, and people actually really enjoyed working for me. It was a good combination. So that really sparked my curiosity and journey to really understand what leadership is all about. So I'd say probably for the last, 10 plus 15 years, I've been on this journey of really understanding what leadership is and how leaders do it, and then helping the leaders around me get the best results. And that's now what I do with Oyster. And I'm privileged, I gotta say, that I get to work with some amazing people who are fantastic at what they do, whether those be doctors, lawyers, shoe designers, marketers, you name it, and really help them take their leadership game to the next level. So yeah, I gotta say, I'm very lucky to be able to do this and help people get better results.
No, that's what it's all about. And I know with athletes, you know, we're all about results. But your time at Intel, you know, you talked about, you know, you spent time climbed up the ladder, learned a lot about leadership. What are some tangibles that make a good leader, in your opinion?
Yeah. Well, to me, you know, a tangible, well, let me start off, actually, let me step back and let's talk about what leadership is. Because I spent the longest time trying to figure out what leadership is. And what leaders do, leaders declare a future that others commit to achieve. Okay. And you talk about tangibles, and that means leaders declare a future. In other words, they have a vision. They have a vision of where they're going that is a future that's better than today. And unlike myself, in the first years of my career, they don't tell people what to do. They engage them, they inspire them to want to come along and join them on the journey to achieve that vision. And then the leader's role is to support and coach them to do the work to get the team to achieve the outcome. And that's not a straight line, as you know. Yeah. You know, I'm sure with a soccer team, it's not like, well, you were just telling me that you're just starting the season. Yeah. You've got a vision of where you want to be, and your team's not there yet. And that's there's some work to be done to bring the team along to get them to the place where they're, you know, performing and achieving the results that you're looking for. So it's very much a, you know, it's interesting. It's a strong similarity with the leadership role, you know, that I played and what I help leaders with, you know, these days.
I appreciate that. So when it comes to, because athletes, in my opinion, athletes are natural leaders, whether they are the captain of their teams, whether they're the ones that are more verbal, whether they're the ones that more, I'm going to do it to show you. And we've seen that translate into the business setting quite a bit, you know. Yeah. In your opinion, you've seen it, you've done it, you've lived it. What qualities athletes have that translate into that leadership to be able to have people follow them or have people have them mobilize others that are, you know, following them?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of this is about the ability to connect with others, you know, and I think this might vary. I'd love to get your thoughts on this as I think about it. Some athletes are solo athletes. You know, let me think about, let's say, a marathon runner. Whatever, they're really a solo runner, so it may be a little bit different for them. But let's think about someone like yourself. You're a team-based athlete. You have to connect with others, and you have to really understand what that other player sort of needs from you in order to get a better outcome, as it were. And I would say that's something that, as an athlete, your ability to team and work with others is almost like your superpower. Because if I go back to my style of leadership, when I was the solo leader and I thought everybody relied on me and my job was to solve everybody's problems, our output at the end of the day was only as good as my ability to do that. In other words, it's relying on one person. So if I'm a soccer team and I have a great player and it's all about that great player, our performance that day really revolves around, you know, how well that player plays. Mm-hmm. But as a leader, let's say you're an athlete and you're going into a startup situation, you have an opportunity of being a multiplier. If you can get more out of the people around you, you become a multiplier. You have a 10x value, because if you have 10 people around you, you can get the best out of them.
Yeah.
Now you're a 10x factor on the team. You know, and I've seen in sports some teams which are not chock full of superstars, but when they play well together, damn, they're good. Yeah. So I think that's one thing that, you know, athletes have learned. You know, my guess of Moby as well is, you know, they're, you know, athletes have a real challenge as well around breaking through, you know, and resilience. My guess is there aren't too many athletes who are so talented that they're destined to be successful from day one.
That's true.
Yeah. So you have a lot of resilience, you have a lot of persistence. And that's really important as a leader, because as I mentioned, leaders declare a future. So they set a vision. And then what happens is, as soon as you've set the vision, the universe gets in the way. It transpires to put barriers in the way, things that you don't know, you don't think about, which prevent you from achieving that outcome. So that drive, that persistence, that resilience that an athlete has, I think is really, really valuable in terms of characteristics. And then another thing that I think is really important, and I'm assuming this again is another athlete quality, is you have to work at things, you have to practice.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, you kind of have a long-term mentality. You aren't suddenly going to get success overnight. You got to practice and work at it. You mentioned your team, you know, you're early in the season, you're going to have to work at it. I think the same is true with business. And here's a, I think, a really important thing. And this is, I think, really important for any startup. Startup founders and companies start out with an idea that if I do this, it's going to add a lot of value and I'm going to be really successful. It's very, very rare that those companies end up with the same idea and succeeding because of that first idea that they had. Mm-hmm. What tends to happen is they find out that that might not be the best thing, but they then try something else and they get a better result. And then they try something else again and they get an even better result. In other words, they iterate their way to a better outcome. And I think it's like they have a longer term perspective. And I think that's something as athletes, you're continuing to develop yourselves, improve over the longer term. It's not like short term immediate success. So I think there's a lot of characteristics that athletes like yourself have learned that will definitely serve you well as leaders.
Okay. So from that standpoint, because I'm trying to relate it back to athletes, obviously, you know, you work with a plethora of different clients across the board, doctors, lawyers, you know, media execs, athletes in particular. Yeah. And there's always like a common theme, you know, for athletes specifically, they come into money, they're thrust into a leadership role, you know, to take care of their family, take care of, you know, their communities, take care of their friends. How do you help them in terms of pressure as a leader? I know I'm trying to correlate it, because when you have that pressure on you, you feel like you have to take care of everybody. Sometimes you can't take care of everybody. Sometimes it leads you to make, you know, unfortunate financial decisions. So from your standpoint as a leadership coach, what are some like tricks of the trade or lessons or insights that you have around handling that pressure?
Yeah, great point. So much of this revolves around self-awareness. And as a leader, self-awareness is really, really important. And what I mean by self-awareness, it's recognizing what you're good at and what you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
And being willing to accept that. you know, I do have a growth mindset, and I encourage everybody to have a growth mindset, which is I can get better at something, but I'm never going to be great at everything. And coming back to your question or your point, really, of as an athlete, I've come into money, and now there's a whole lot of demands and pressures on me. There's friends, there's family, et cetera, et cetera. If you're self-aware, you know you're not financially capable in terms of there are some skills that you're going to have to learn in order to be able to be good at that. Hey, when you started out your career as an athlete, you weren't a great soccer player. You know, you had to learn a lot of skills. And I think being self-aware is great, because then you can recognize what you have and what you don't have. And my advice is go out and find somebody, first of all, that you can trust. Mm-hmm. You know, have a conversation and really feel like this person listens and understands you. And you have a good relationship with them. And then you want to really understand, you know, okay, what expertise do they have? You know, speak to other people that have worked with them. And then, you know, start to build a relationship to help them help you either to do the things that you don't do well or to help you learn those things. You know, I know what you're doing, Amobi, with Frugal Athlete. I think it's fantastic, because this is exactly what you're, I think, about, which is, mm-hmm. you know, as an athlete, you don't have all the answers. So you're building this network where folks can get the answers. So I think that's something which is really important. You don't have to have all the answers. And I think a lot of stress comes from, we put it on ourselves when we believe that we are supposed to have all the answers. Well, we can't. That's not possible. We can't know everything. What we need to do are build relationships with people we can trust, that we can rely on to help us achieve the outcomes that we're seeking.
No, I love that, because, you know, I think the biggest thing when it comes to a leader or an athlete or whoever is understanding, you know, and being humble enough to realize that, all right, I might not have all the answers, but, you know, I'm humble and humble, and I have enough humility to ask people and find people that can help me find those answers, find those resources to hopefully, you know, be successful in the questions that I do seek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. With that standpoint, I wanted to ask you, you know, you talked about, you know, people finding their purpose, you know,
yeah.
You work a plethora of different clients, but specifically for athletes, you know, doctor, you can be a doctor forever, 30, 40, 50 years. You could be a lawyer forever. An athlete's a finite time. So how do we, you know, we play from 5 years old to until we go pro, and then it's gone like that. So how do we figure out ways to find our other purpose? I know we've talked about this offline a couple of times, but I want you to break it down, you know, for the audience that may be intrigued about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great, great question. And so many people feel that they're supposed to have the answer. They are supposed to know their purpose just like that. And they come to me and they say, so what's the secret? I want this secret where I can figure out my purpose. And that's just not the way this works, because it's a journey of discovery. And it's about really uncovering what's important to you. And the only way I would say to do that is to try different things and find out what resonates with you, what doesn't. Be open to different experiences and try them out. I find, you know, from my standpoint, my purpose has changed a lot. Early in my career, my purpose was to be one of the top executives in a big company. That was really important to me, and that was my goal. That was my focus. Now, well, I'd say about 6-7 years ago, I realized that that no longer was really motivating me. What I really enjoyed was helping other leaders develop skills that help them achieve their goals. And when they did that, that was so rewarding. It was like, wow, I want to do more of that. So my purpose really evolved and changed. And now as I, you know, over the last 5 years of running my own company, I found things which have come up now, which I've actually gotten some different purpose around, or different sort of motivation. One of the things I might do in the future is write a book. You know, I started a podcast. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I started a podcast last year, as you know, just like yourself. And I started it out just to try something different. Seth Godin, fantastic marketer, had a podcast course available. I'd already studied one of his marketing programs. And I said, you know, yeah, that sounds interesting. I wonder what running a podcast would be like. And then I run the podcast and I get to meet just these amazing people. People like yourself who tell their stories, and it's like, wow, that is fantastic. Now, I'd love to write a book about what I'm learning through the podcast, but unless I went out and tried it out, there's no way that I would know. So my advice around purpose, I think purpose is really, really important, but it's not something that suddenly is going to be a lightning bolt from the heavens. It's going to be something that you're going to iterate yourself to find. You're going to try things out and then find out what works. And, you know, talking about purpose, I've started to really think about how this fits for companies. And this may be an analogy that's helpful for individuals. So you've probably heard about companies having visions and missions. You know, the vision here, you go into a company and you read these statements, we're going to be the best widget company on the planet, you know, and everybody's going to love working here and blah, blah, blah. Not a very good sort of vision or mission. But one of the things I work with companies on, and I think it's the same for individuals, is, you know, your vision is where you want to be in the future, maybe 2 or 3 years time. It's a goal. Your mission is what you do. It's your purpose. It's your reason for being. So if I think about myself, what I'm starting to realize here is my purpose, certainly right now, and probably has been for maybe the last 10 years, is to help leaders take their game to the next level to get better results for themselves and their teams.
Now, so would you say your purpose is between vision and mission?
I think the purpose is my mission. My mission right now, that's what I do.
Okay.
But that's what I'm here to do, which is the purpose, as it were, and the mission. But the vision, which is where do I want to be in 2 to 3 years? You know, it might, as I said, I may write a book. And that will help me do that by helping others understand what leadership's all about. I've been developing my leadership development business, Oyster. You know, I may be working with different coaches and different clients. So, you know, it's still going to be very much related to that leadership purpose that I have. But my goal in terms of where I want to be in 2 to 3 years, that's going to change over time, as it were. So where I'm going here is what I encourage people to do is think very broadly around what sort of things do I want to do? And then think about what's a goal for me a year from now, and gradually iterate yourself. When you're in a year, as you mentioned, so we're talking about purpose. So for me, purpose is very much the same as somebody's mission, what they're here to do. And it's an activity. So if I look at myself, my purpose is to help other leaders develop their leadership game and get better results for themselves and others around them. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very broad. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that I could do there. What I encourage folks to do is to think about broadly, what do you want to do? But then set goals, and goals are where it sort of ties into vision. Where do I want to be a year from now? So for myself, you know, I mentioned my purpose, my mission is around leadership development. My goal is potentially a year from now, I will have written a book, because that's going to help me help others with their leadership development. You know, I may have grown my company or done other things, but I'm really separating my purpose in terms of what I'm here to do from the outcome in terms of, if I do it well, this is where I want to be. And so to me, that's what purpose is all about, is what I'm here to do. But as you mentioned, how do we figure that out? We have to figure that out through trying things out, see what I enjoy, see what works for me, and be willing to change and adapt and find the things that you really enjoy. And over time, I think your purpose will reveal itself, and it may change in the long run as well. I mean, early in my career, my purpose and what I was really motivated by was to be a senior executive of the company. Over time, that changed, and my purpose and my motivation became more about helping other leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's just a factor of my experience, where I am in my career, some opportunities I've had around coaching. And I didn't ever say, oh, now I'm going to change my purpose and now I'm going to do this. It kind of happened because I tried different things. I started to get involved with different people, with different experiences. And I kind of learned my way to where I am. So I encourage you to try different things, to go figure out what is it that you really enjoy. And then set some goals. How will I know if this is working for me? I'll give you another example. When I started my coaching business, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm really excited about this because I can really help other people. But I couldn't just say, you know, I never need to earn any money. I'm just going to give this away. I'm going to do this free for everybody. Yeah. I had to set some goals over 3 years to see whether that was going to allow me to earn a sufficient living to support my family, while also being able to fulfill my goal of, and my mission of, being able to help other leaders develop their skills and get more results. So I really encourage people not to focus on your purpose, but also set goals in terms of, where do I want to be? So you can see whether you're making progress in getting there. And if you're not, like for me, if I wasn't achieving my 3-year goals as a coach, it gives me a pretty clear message that I need to rethink what I'm doing. Maybe I needed to do something else. There's a lot of things that I could do to help other leaders improve their performance.
I like that a lot. So before I let you leave, like, what advice would you have for any athlete, you know, whether they're in the midst of their career, you know, transitioning out of their career, about to start their career? What advice would you have from them, from just understanding their own personal journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. My first reaction when I heard you asking about that was, what advice do I have for maybe athletes who are coming towards the end of their career and looking for the next thing? Mm-hmm. And let me start there, because that's probably where I'm most qualified, because I had a similar thing for me. I mean, after 25 years at Intel, I started a new career.
Yeah.
So you could say my athletic career at Intel came to an end and now I've got to do something different.
Yeah.
The advice that I would say is something that I did. I didn't suddenly leave Intel and say, well, I'm going to learn to become a coach. I started to practice becoming a coach about 6 or 7 years before I left Intel. So as an athlete, you know, start to think about what are some of the things that you want to try out that you could learn before you finish your athletic career.
I like that.
You know, could you go study something? Now you might say, wow, that could be really heavy, like a 2 or 3 year course. Could be. You could also go do a program on Coursera, you know, self-paced, figure it out if you like it. You know, maybe you want to get into, I don't know, broadcasting or something. Is there an opportunity where you can volunteer and help out? Could you start a podcast, for example? There are so many things that you can do to dip your toes in the water, to try things out without having to bet the farm on it. You know, you're being paid as an athlete, but you've got a little bit of time. So use that to experiment rather than wait. And then you're going to put everything into one thing with like a Hail Mary pass. You don't need to do it. You can learn over time in the last, you know, playing years, as it were, to figure this out. You know, I find, you know, in the soccer world, I think this is true, Amobi, but you know better than me, you know, players who are becoming, you know, let's say late in their career, start to do coaching courses and things like that. And hey, that's great. They're now preparing themselves for career, you know, 2.0.
Oh, exactly. I think, for athletes, we do have a lot of free time. So how are we spending it? You know, how are we trying to figure out ways to try different things to see if we like it or not? Because you don't want to get into a situation when, you know, you at the end of your career and then you're kind of forced to do something because it's the only way that you're going to be able to take care of your family. So like you said, it's important to find those passions, find your purpose. And with that, you have to explore different that may or may not be in front of me about that. For anyone that's looking to connect with you, first and foremost, for your time, this was kind of a little bit different for the audience to learn about, but I think leadership is a big quality, purpose is a big quality, a big concept that athletes do need to kind of focus on as it pertains to not only money management, but just personal, you know, transition, career. I really appreciate your expertise and insight.
Yeah, you're welcome, Amobi. One thing I want to add as well, and that is I have some advices. I'm going to add one other quick thing, Amobi, before I do that. And that is advice for athletes who are maybe earlier in their career.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. And I have three words. Always be learning.
I love it.
You know, just because you're an athlete in one area, don't stop learning. Be curious, try different things so that when you are coming towards the end of your career, you're not stuck with what could I do? I don't have anything. You're challenged with I've got so many possibilities. And there's no reason why you can't develop those things. So always be learning and sort of understanding what's interesting for me. And that's how you can develop your purpose, because your purpose connects to what you care about. It's what motivates you. So you've got a long opportunity, if you're a young athlete, you've got plenty of time to start to play with things and find out what it is that really, really motivates you, in addition to the sport that you're playing. And, you know, what I would also say is if you're interested in learning some things, please do check out oyster.team. And I write a weekly leadership insights article. And some articles, some blogs are just unashamedly adverts. I try to share, you know, really good, solid leadership advice every week. So I really invite you to subscribe to Leadership Insights. You can find it on my website. And, you know, I'm happy to give that away because it's part of the deal here of what I'm my purpose, coming back to that and our theme today, is to help leaders learn and grow. And it took me a long time to figure it out. So if I can help others, you know, then that's a bonus. And I enjoy writing that. So check that out. I do some webinars as well. All these are free. And, you know, if you find those helpful, that's fantastic. And, you know, Amobi, I want to, first of all, thank you for what you're doing, because I think it's so important that you clearly are following one of your cares and one of your passions about helping others and helping athletes transition into career 2.0. And I think that's so important here. And I think it's great the work you're doing. And thank you for inviting me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Nah, thank you so much. So you focus on things off the field, you actually perform better on the field. So I hope you guys take that advice. I hope you guys definitely listen to this podcast. If you guys are listening to this podcast, please leave a review and a rate, preferably 5 stars, 4 stars. It doesn't matter. It helps us get discovered and it helps us bring awesome guests like Andy on the show. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy and see you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review and share and subscribe. Thank you so much.